This very special bonus episode of We Like Dota is brought to you by the generous support of our patrons. Patrons like Yield Raven, Ninja Skills, Samson Magnuson, RX Cowboy, Surreal, CBX, Mr. Fancy Pants, Beendor, Modster, Icebug, Spanguin, Gabe Newell, Titus Andromedon, Dank, Xynosin, Dolly Kaustchev, Paul Turner, Jeffrey Peterson, Digital Nick, Edge, Javier Latuplay, and Wisp. The very special bonus episode of We Like Dota starts now. Hello and welcome to the WLD patch analysis. I'm H2K, and today I have with me the very rare special guest. He has only like a 5% drop chance on this podcast. Say welcome, say hello, give him your warmest of welcome hellos. Nick, how are you doing today?
Aaron's dragged me out of bed because I can't sleep because we're so excited about the Dota 2.
Yes, well, Nick got up pretty early. I didn't.
I guess this is regular time.
This is the one time in my life where the time zone difference actually favors me.
Dude, I've been baited.
Nick got up really early so we can do this patch notes for you guys to enjoy. We're aiming for around 2 hours. So if you like want to get everything from the patch.
If you're keeping track at home, that was, you know, our original estimate. Purge took, I think, over 9 hours this time.
Okay.
And I feel like, yeah.
We're aiming for something that, you know, if you want to have a complete understanding of the patch,
then you're listening to the wrong podcast.
Then you're listening to the wrong podcast because we don't know anything. So if you want like the super in-depth one, like 400 IQ, patch analysis, maybe listen to the Fourth Spirit one. I think that one's gonna be longer. But if you wanna have like a 2 hour, you know mostly what's going on, but maybe not every detail, but you know you save some time, then you know maybe we can help you out here. How about that?
So I have technically read through all the patch notes, though every time I go back and try to look things up, I discover new things. You've also read through everything, right, Aaron?
Yes, okay. But the same thing happened to me, to be honest. It's a big patch. All right, do you just want to get into it? Let's start from top to bottom. So we're going to start with the first new hero.
Ooh. Actually, wait, Aaron. Super compressed your work in Dota. Have you played any games of Dota in 7.23?
Yes, I've played a Snapfire game and a Void Spirit game.
Damn, a real game?
Turbos.
Even that? Wow, how'd you get...
Yeah.
I played...
So yesterday, I didn't sleep last night, which was actually unrelated to the patch. It was very related to my rampant insomnia, though. So, I mean, I kind of did it on purpose. I wanted to fix my sleep schedule and actually, like, be able to go to sleep at a reasonable time. So I was like, all right, you're not going to sleep this night. So yesterday, I, like, dragged myself after I came back from my work dinner. Actually, Nick, where were you when the patch dropped? I feel like
I was at work, but it was, like, after lunch. And so I had just, like, gotten back to my desk, and I'm like, oh. Actually, I was there... I think 30 minutes before, Ice Frog tweeted out like a YouTube video of the Mango song.
Yeah, yeah, I saw that as well.
Previously unaware of.
That's really out of character for Ice Frog.
Yeah, I don't know. He just kind of like tweeted a video with no context, and it was, you know, at the 30 minute.
I think it's related to the Mango tree.
Well, yeah, and then you know, there's his typical notes about it being mango season and stuff. But yeah, we'll get into that. But so, okay, you played two, you actually got to play. I played two turbos and then three regular, normal Dota games for some reason.
And lost all of them. You didn't get to play them.
Either? And I didn't get to play any of them. And turbos, like, they were banned. Like, I think Void and Snapfire were banned in most of them.
Not for me, because everybody tried to snap pick them, but I guess the Insomnia gave me magic fast clicking powers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was at a work dinner when the patch hit. I was discussing the toppling of the Iranian government with a colleague of mine.
Damn, dude, you got to keep that under wraps.
Then the patch hit. No, not the. We're not planning one.
Sure, sure. Of course. No, that's right.
And yeah, it's a fun patch. All right, let's get into the first hero.
Do it.
Void Spirit. He's listed as a melee, carry, escape, nuker, and disabler for what that's worth.
Yeah, he's intelligent.
I don't really trust those. Yeah, he's int also. I don't really trust those. Let's start with the stat gain first. Void Spirit.
Oh boy.
Where can I see this actually?
Aaron, you got to start with the lore, dude. You always got to lead in with the lore.
All right. You have some background noise there, Mister.
Do I? It's because I lowered my Discord threshold so that you could get all the ambient sounds here.
Very cool.
I'm sure Mr. Editor will take care of it. Inai, the Void Spirit. Not even the other spirits claim to understand the mind and machinations of the eldest among them, Inai the Void Spirit. Privy to secrets that would shatter a mortal mind, the Void Spirit observes the workings of the universe from an unknown vantage, choosing to let carefully groomed servants do his bidding. Only emerging from his hidden temple into the material plane when he deems that he alone can steer the course of reality along its proper path. With an expansive perspective on existence, Inai is focused intently on a point in time beyond which he cannot see, when the fabrics of multiple realities are fated to collide. Now he steps from the aether to personally resolve the Battle of the Ancients and prepare his allies for what he views as a greater conflict to come.
Oh god. What's that greater conflict?
I don't.
It's the same as OD has been warning us of this for years now.
I really does he have anything to do with the hidden temple of Templar assassin? She talks about secrets in a temple and it's hidden. It's a secret. What do you mean you don't know, dude?
I don't know.
You're the lore master.
Into lore. You have to ask Sam. Sam's the lore master. Okay. Yeah, he's a weird guy. He actually, I think they just took the Ember Spirit model and based the hero of that. No offense. Seems kind of lazy, but hey, that's that. I don't think they did it for the abilities.
Yeah, I don't know how.
So at least we got some originality here.
Yeah, you need to create like a fourth Eastern style guy, and he's purple themed, and I don't really know where you start from there.
I guess. Yeah. So yeah, he's an int hero, which is pretty weird. I wouldn't have expected that. I thought he would be edgy.
I thought they might have done some weirdness with like a fourth attribute, or like he could change attributes.
Because the spirits all have another attribute. Mm-hmm. So he's a melee hero, 3 base armor. His stat gain is pretty good actually. He has 2.5 strength gain, 2.2 edgy gain, and 3.1 int gain.
That's pretty good.
So even though I don't think you build a lot of int items on him, he still has a good mana pool. All right, let's get into the abilities. His first ability is called Aether Remnant. It's vector targeted. And he dispatches, because every spirit has like a remnant based ability, and his Q is his remnant based ability. So he sends out the remnant, and this remnant has like a vector where he gazes, and that's basically the zone of denial where you can't go. And if you go in that zone, the remnant stuns you for 1.2, scaling up to 1.8 seconds, and you take 270 damage.
It's a taunt too, actually. So it pulls you and taunts you. Yeah.
Exactly. I think this is a really cool ability. You can do some flashy play with this, but it's also fast enough that you can just like go on somebody and send it out, and you have like a 70% chance of it hitting.
Yeah, I feel like there's going to be weirdness with this, like how the pros will use it to disrupt things. I mean, you could. It's like it's a pretty. Does it say the cast? Yeah, it's got 1,000 cast radius, right? So like, you could easily just cancel Enigma Black Hole with this from like.
Mm-hmm.
It's got 1,000 cast range, and then it's got a little bit of like range in which like the Aether Remnant is staring, right? Which goes beyond that 1,000. So like from really far away, you can like stop somebody channeling something stuff.
You can also farm if you want to farm in very like dangerous places. You can deny some choke points with this. So like if somebody's gonna gank you, you can just put one of these remnants at the like choke point or in the high ground, and they literally can't go on you unless like you're gonna see basically.
Yeah, the remnants last 20 seconds, but which seems short, but it you can do a lot in 20 seconds with this guy.
Yeah, you can have two up at the same time.
Yeah, and he also has a talent that gives these guys true sight. Which is
600 true sight. Really, that's crazy. Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Next ability, Dissimulate. I'll read the description for this one. Void Spirit temporarily fades into the ether, creating a number of portals through which he can reassemble himself. Upon exiting a portal, he damages all enemies in the area. This is actually like the ability description is so much more complicated. So. It's just he phase shifts like a puck for 1.3 seconds, so he like doesn't exist anymore, and he creates one circle in the middle, and I believe 6 or 5 around him. I don't think it's that important if it's 6 or 5. Mm-hmm. So it's highlighted for both you and the enemy at which of these circles he's gonna reappear.
Oh, but is it at any the enemy? Can yeah, see yeah, yeah. It? Really?
Yeah, he can. At any point during this ability, you can right-click on one of the circles, and that's going to be the new circle where you're going to reappear. And since if you're good at this hero, so I assume like if you get to train this, because it's a fixed time, it's always 1.3 seconds until he reappears. You can do some cool shit where you're like, use the ability, then right-click on a circle that's like way away from where you actually want to go, and then the last second you like bait them and go in the other circle. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, I'm gonna go here. Whoa. Psych! Yeah. So that's really cool. I did that a couple of times when I played him. It's a really cool and flashy ability, and also at level 4 while reappearing, you do 380 it's magical damage.
Crazy. This guy is like release Grimstroke levels of doing too much damage right now.
Yeah.
And because he's int, he's naturally gonna get a lot of spell amp, right? Even just from having agi. So like I was seeing, I think maybe at level 20, level 25 or 20 or something, with a void spit I was playing with last night, he did like 420 base damage on this ability.
Exactly.
And it's crazy.
Yeah. Let's get into this last ability before, and then we'll finish a bit of like general talk, because I 100% agree with this. Literally the first time I played him, I took the first 30 seconds of my mid lane to read the abilities. And then I just played him, and I played against a very competent Lina. I like couldn't go up to get CS because he used his stun so well. And I just owned the lane because literally all his three normal abilities do around 300 magic damage. Mm-hmm. All right, yeah. Next ability, Resonant Pulse. Void Spirit wraps himself in a protective shield that absorbs physical damage and emits a single damaging pulse around him. The shield gains increased damage absorption for each enemy hero the pulse hits. So we basically already have this ability. Sven has this ability without the damage part. It's a shield that absorbs magic damage. It absorbs physical damage. And the more heroes are around you, the more tankier you get. So like a Pango. It's just like a mixture between Pango's W and Sven's E.
The thing with this that's weird, I maybe they'll patch it. You can't see how much shield you have.
Yeah, you can't.
Like I tried that's to find, it's like, no, it doesn't. It doesn't give you the little gray health bar thing.
It has to be mysterious, Nick.
I was like, wait, I can't even tell how much I have. Yeah.
This ability, I don't think this guy is an offlaner, because when Pango came out, people were like, yeah, he's an offlaner. But he had to play the offlane really weirdly, because he's not tanky. He just has this one weird ability that makes him really tanky in certain situations. And Void Spirit is kind of the same. He's really squishy. But in some situations, when you're lucky enough where there's like three or four enemies around you in the AoE, you get pretty tanky, but you're still vulnerable against magic damage.
I don't know about that, actually. At level one, he has 640 health, and he has 5.7 armor.
Yeah, that's pretty... That's
pretty tanky. But,
well, maybe you build tanky on him. I don't know. I actually, yesterday, when I wrote down a couple of my notes about this hero, that was one of my ideas, because I feel like his damage doesn't scale very well with items, but he really, really, really wants levels, because his 25 and 20 talents are so good. His 20 talent literally halves his ulti cooldown.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you just build tanky and hope to stay alive at fights and get your XP that way. Because I do not think you build Midas on this guy.
Well, I don't have any idea what to do with literally any hero.
Yeah, I don't know. Moment, I don't know. What we'll to get build to that. Anyway. Yeah. Nobody knows.
Yeah, but he does so much damage. He'll probably
because be this also does 300 around 300 damage magical.
Before you get a talent that ups it to just a raw 400 at level 4.
Yeah, yeah, that talent's pretty good.
It's a really big AoE too. It's like 500 unit radius.
Yeah.
And last it's also on a 14 second cooldown. So
yeah, his cooldowns are like he can't spam his abilities, but he can. I mean,
it's pretty close.
Synergized with his ult very well. You can like weave out of the fight, use like ult in, use all your abilities, and then ult out, and then wait for 5 seconds and go back in.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Ult, astral step, void spirit tears a rift through the astral plane to appear at a target location. I mean, this description is stupid. So what he does is he basically blinks from 600, scaling up to 1000 range. And everything between his starting and his endpoint, he will attack once. And he'll do 250 damage and slow them for 80 seconds and do a normal attack on them. But it's not like Ember Spirit's W. Yeah, slow them by 80%. It's not like Ember Spirit where he'll get bonus damage on his attacks. No. He gets
until level 25.
So he gets the bonus damage and he slows them. It has a 25 second cooldown at the start, so it's charge based. It has two charges. And it scales down to 15 seconds.
And then
at
like
level
you said,
six,
yeah,
you feel kind of limited with this, but I think it makes sense because like you shouldn't have a 15 second cooldown on this and all your other abilities being that strong in the early game. But in the late game, it feels pretty good, especially after you get the minus cooldown talent on level 20, which gives you minus 7 seconds cooldown, charge restore time on this. So you just have an 8 second charge restore time, which is really good.
And the mana cost on this is 100 at level 3.
Like, yeah,
it's
which
very
is
cheap.
Kind of would be, yeah, yeah, it's really cheap
for an int hero, especially
like a blink, but it's cheap for an int hero, exactly.
Then at level 25, there's the 200% crit that makes it basically, you know, like a sleight of fist almost, and everything along the line, much. In addition to 250 magic damage, is going to get hit with a 200% crit. So it's not like a. It's not like a continuous amount of DPS, but like he has a lot of burst and his burst is on a low cooldown.
Exactly.
So it's not like he's a bursty hero.
So what I think his skill set like naturally led me into in team fights when I played him is you ulti in, then you like just click all your buttons. And then you either dissimulate to kill somebody, finish them off, or you dissimulate to get out, and then you wait like 3 or 4 more seconds to get all your cooldowns back down, and then you use astral step again to go in and go again.
I saw some dirty stuff. I was watching Purge a little bit last night. I think it was either him playing or someone else. Void Spirit got a Yules, and so he would ult into somebody because it's, you know, 1000 range gap closer.
Yeah.
So he gets in there, and then they're slowed by 80% for a second, so he gets like a right click or two off. And then Yules is the guy, dissimulates, and takes the dissimulate 3 second stun talent. So it's basically like a Lina stun setup, And so he ults in, gets damage from that, Yules's, dissimulates, stuns for 3 seconds, and then, you know, can drop the rest of the junk on him. And it was a nasty combo.
Combo his Yules with his Q.
Yeah, you could set up a remnant to, like, taunt the person.
After they come down from the
Yules. Yeah. Meanwhile, you're smacking him.
What do you think of this hero overall, Nick? I think I like him way more than Snapfire.
Really? Okay.
Well, not design-based. I like Snapfire's design way more. Yeah. But how the hero works, I think I prefer him.
I think nobody knows how he feels, obviously, because it just came out. Yeah. But he is a melee int core, which we've never had before. I've always, like, on Battle Crew, we've made hero concepts up and stuff sometimes, right, for special episodes. Mm-hmm. And I've made a lot of, like, melee int hero concepts just because I'm like, oh, you know what we need? We need some variety. Just like we have a weird Io who's a ranged strength character, we need a melee int. But that's the thing. How do you build this guy, and, like, how do you play him?
I do not know.
Because he's never going to out DPS and out G carry in terms of just, like,
never. He doesn't have any sustained DPS.
No.
And if you want to have sustained DPS, then you won't have any, like, HP or bulk.
Yeah. So, like, I feel like
I built Echo Saber on him, which was really
That's probably good. Really?
Yeah, I mean, it was good theory, yeah. But it didn't feel good on him.
Maybe you'd get Maelstrom.
Yeah, I think levels are the number one priority on him, definitely. I think he cares about XP way more than he cares about gold.
Yeah, I wonder if when they tweak his numbers, because they're going to tweak his numbers probably, if that'll change somewhat or if he gets flattened out a little there. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, because he's melee int, it's weird to... It's like, how do you... Whenever you're playing a core or something, it's like you're always doing the math in your head, subconsciously, like, oh, can I, if I literally just right click and then, you know, take my hands off the keyboard, will I win this trade, right? You're never gonna win that trade with this guy. So it's like very tempo based and, like, positioning. It's, you know, a high skill hero, so he does feel like a spirit hero, right? You have, like, a tempo and you have to manage cooldowns really, really well in order to do anything.
Well, the last thing I want to say about him is you can't underestimate how strong it is on a core having a stun.
Yeah.
Because it's not like a stun, but he basically has a stun.
It's not reliable, though. It's a little weird because Dissimulate has that fixed 1.3 second, you know, phase duration, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen a lot of people just, like, kind of hover on the edge of a circle. Or, I mean, with 1.3 seconds, you can walk out of a lot of circles. So you have to have slowed them with your ult or something.
Okay. Ah, yeah. Makes sense. I like the C-roll a lot, though. I think he's cool. I like Dissimulate. It's a really fun ability to play with. And his ult.
Yeah, he feels very fun. He feels so ridiculously mobile with his ult.
Yeah, he feels very, very fun to play. I agree. All right. That's Voidspirit, guys. I'm looking forward to how it'll pan out. The next hero. Or do you want to say anything about Voidspirit, or are you done with this guy?
Let's go to Snapfire.
Snapfire. All right. First of all, the lore. Let's go, Nick.
Beatrix Snapfire and her dragon toad. Mortimer are a welcome sight to the ragged... I definitely didn't accent. Beatrix Snapfire and her dragon toad Mortimer are a welcome sight to the ragged folk who stretch out lives among the desert routes and oases scattered throughout Nanorak, the rain-forsaken gateway to the Outlands. As well known for her unrivaled skills as a weaponsmith as for dispensing wisdom, mirth, and the meanest fire snap cookies the world has ever seen, Beatrix, what the hell, survived to a ripe old age in a young king's trade by being quick with her wits and even quicker with her guns. Indeed, the Outlands are littered with the bones of bandits and ne'er-do-wells who thought to take advantage of her small stature and propensity for kindness. This says nothing about why she's come to, like, fight with the ancients or anything. Great lore.
Yeah, she's basically the opposite of Klinx, if you think about it. Klinx just camps the roadway and waits until somebody goes by and he fucking kills them. He just what does campfire do? She just
campfire. The... You just call her campfire.
I called her snapfire.
You called her campfire, dude.
The guy, the people listening to this will know for sure. She just camps the side of a roadway, and she gives you cookies.
She's the people's protector. Yeah, the cookie master.
Well, so she's a strength hero. Her stat gains are 2.3, 1.9, and 2.2, so pretty good. When I first saw this hero... Actually, yeah, let's do the abilities. First ability is Scatter Blast. It's like a shotgun. It's how a shotgun works in every video game. You do damage in a like cone, so the farther they are away, the bigger the AoE is. And the closer they are, the more they take damage. So if they're... It does 290 damage. And if they're closer than 450 units to you, they're going to take 50% bonus damage. And it slows movement by 100% for 1 second. So it's like a root, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little bit. That's it. It's not a very complicated ability. It's a shotgun.
But it feels good.
It feels good, but we'll go into this later, but I don't like how close you have to be with this. If somebody is kiting you, like, you're rarely going to be able to get the 50% bonus damage. Next ability, Fire Snap Cookie. It's also really simple. She gives you a cookie, and you're like, hey, I got a cookie. So you're very, very happy about getting cookies, so you... hop 450 units in front of you, and in a 300 AoE, you do 300 damage and stun people for 2 seconds. My only note about this, the hop range is really low.
Like, it's 450. It's
barely like... It feels so low.
Yeah.
It's barely like a skip. It's like, meh.
But, I mean, like you said, you have to be close to people already to use... Not necessarily... Not all of her... Not most of her skills, I guess. So I don't know what I'm saying.
Like, two of her skills, you have to be really close. Two of her skills, you want to be really far.
Yeah. You can feed it to, like, people who are kiting, who are, like, chasing, though, right? Like, if you had a Slurk, you could feed him a cookie, and he's just, like, gets a bonus leap. Yeah, I don't know.
Weird ability. The next ability, Lil Shredder. Snapfire heats up her mounted turret to rapidly fire 6 fixed damage attacks. Each attack slows the enemy's attack speed, provides bonus attack range for the duration. So it's like you basically have a little death ward mounted on you. It does attacks, but it's not your attacks unless you take the level 20 talents. And it's limited to 6 attacks, and they don't do a lot of damage, but they slow per attack. So 35 attacks
slow per attack. They have attack slow, yeah.
Yeah, and that stacks. So... if it's like, let's say it's level 3 and you get all your 6 attacks off, you have like 150 something attack slow on them, which is pretty good.
It's really weird because it also gives you 75 to scale into 300 bonus attack range during the duration of the spell thing. Yeah,
so definitely incentivizes being not that in range.
Yeah, and like this works on towers too, but it's, you know, 75 damage per shot.
Yeah,
it's not that much. At level 4. It's not great, but I don't know.
Yeah, it feels weird. I haven't been able to do anything with this ability, to be honest. The damage is so low.
Mm-hmm.
All right, her last ability, Mortimer's Kisses. Snapfire's friend launches a barrage of fire spit globs over 6 seconds. Globs cause impact damage and create pools of fire pit, which slow and apply damage over time. Snapfire has a reduced turn rate for the duration and a minimum launch range of 600. Each glob can be targeted with a right click. So this is basically, she turns into a, I don't know what you call this in English, but we call it like an artillery cannon. You know, like these artillery cannons that have like a really short barrel?
Mm-hmm.
What do you call those?
Artillery, yeah. You call like mortars. Artillery?
Mortars, yeah, she turns into mortar.
Mortar.
Because you can't shoot that close. You have a very limited mobility. It's basically that. So, like, the globs do a bunch of damage. They do a bunch of DPS if you stay into them. But they only stay for 3 seconds, so...
Yeah, it's like a mini Viper pit in it.
Yeah, but I mean, at level 6... It does 100 DPS. So. Yeah, at level 6, if you stay in one of those for 3 seconds, you're going to have taken 625 damage magically.
Yeah.
And if you take the talent, you're going to be slowed for 4 seconds. So if she hits you with one of those in the face, there's a good chance you can't walk out fast enough. And you should 8 of these, which is pretty
good. Without the talent that doubles it.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a talent that doubles it to 16.
Mm-hmm.
It goes pretty far.
So when I saw this hero, I was like, all right, everything she does is damage. She must be a mid hero. Because she just nukes people. But she doesn't do enough of damage. Because her Q, like... Yeah, it's weird. Like, she's not mobile enough to be a mid hero, neither does she do enough, like, in-your-face burst damage. I think she's like a 4 or 5 with no utility that just does her, like... She's just like an artillery weapon suite that has feet. She has a shotgun, she has a machine gun, and she has a mortar.
Yeah, I think she's definitely some sort of support because she doesn't scale really at all.
Yeah, she doesn't scale with anything. Like her E, I guess you can buy a diffusal blade on her E. I did that and still didn't do anything.
Yeah, because I don't know what the goal, because she's a ranged strength hero, right? Which is strength.
Yeah, I got to say, though, her attack animation is really good. That's also why I thought she's a mid hero. She has like a gyro-like attack animation.
It's like if gyro didn't have that weird delay.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Yeah. Actually, hold on. The lore for her ult says, little did BD know when she adopted Mortimer, dragon toads, which aren't even toads at all, share more than just a name with her distant draconic cousins.
I told you.
They're just dragons. They're not toads. What? Dragon toads, which aren't even toads at all, share more than just a name with her distant draconic... So she's just a dragon.
Yeah, it's a dragon.
The lizard guy is the best part of this hero. But he's not a toad.
No, if he calls himself a toad, he's a toad.
But then it says it's not even a toad.
I'll call him Frog from now on.
Okay. Frogamer.
I mean, it's a really cute design. I really like the frog. It's like you know How to Train Your Frogs, that movie?
How to Train Your Frogs?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
He looks like his facial expressions are the same of the like black frog. That's like the frog of the main character of that.
Sure.
Yeah, he's really cute. I like him. But yeah, she's a weird hero. Like, she doesn't have like any reliable utility. And she doesn't have like reliable disable. So she's kind of yikes as a 5, I guess.
Yeah, and the cookie, there's a talent at 15 that makes it restore 250 health, which is like...
Yeah, but it's still not reliable disable. It's weird. Yeah. It's very weird. I don't know.
I feel like you could play her kind of like an ogre, like a zoning, but without most of the...
Yeah, maybe she's
hard
a
CC. Because like you're going to be somewhat tankyish. You're actually not really tanky because of her base HP.
You're not that tanky.
Like
and
at level
also,
1, you only have 600 HP.
Also... she's so, like, she's not mobile at all. You have to play this hero defensively. Like, you're never going to walk up and Q somebody. The only time you Q somebody with the bonus damage, so that when they're close to you, is when somebody gets too close to you. So
I could foresee keeping people
away from her.
Yeah. In lane, your carry's close. Being bullied, so you cookie yourself, right? And then you jump on them and they're stunned for a sec. And then you wait, and then you Q them, and then they're super slowed and they take a bunch of damage. And then you kind of whittle them away as they try to run away.
I think
then
she's pretty good in lane. Shredder. I think she's not good in the mid lane because she doesn't have the range. But in side lanes, I think she's really good because she has this really good attack animation, decent attack damage and stats, and then her Q is good in lane. But it's a hero that I think has a really weird identity, which I like, you know? It's something different. Like, people have to figure out how to make this really weird kit work. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Her 3 just feels so weird to me because it's like, hey, you're core, but then you're actually not.
Yeah, I'm not sure why. It's like you don't want to fight her, because if you're close to her, then her Q does 50% more damage, which can be considerable. I mean, it's 10 yeah. second cooldown, so
it's like you'll probably get hit by damage. Two.
Yeah, but then Little Shredder, the E is, it's not really that much damage.
Yeah.
There's a talent that makes it, you know, it gives it her attack damage, but it's at level 20, and that's just way too late to play her as a core. And the fact that it gives you bonus attack range during it, it's like, what? It's good for the bonus attack range for the Little Shredder projectiles, but for her regular auto attacks, they're not very strong.
I guess you use this when people are running away, but that also means, like, I just use this one ability in a very, like, weird edge case.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. People have to figure out how to play her.
Yeah.
Because I don't
definitely,
know.
If I had to train one, she has a 33% win rate right now, it seems like.
No, you can't tell with literally Voidsburg less than 24
has a
hours.
42% win rate.
Yeah, don't give those fake stats.
Yeah, I mean, they're not like reliable, but all I'm saying is the Void Spirit seems to be stronger at launch.
Sure, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. All right, I think we're already 30 minutes in and we have gone past the first two heroes. Seems good. Let's start with the actual patch, Nick. How about that?
Oh, yeah. Let's get into the real nonsense.
General updates. Courier. I'm going to read all of those, and then we're going to talk about them.
Okay. Hold your applause.
Each player now has their own courier automatically. Courier now gains levels when your hero gains levels. Courier movement speed reduced from 300. That's not that important. Courier health reduced from 75. All right, courier movement speed reduced from 380 to 275. Courier health reduced from 75 to 70. Courier now provides 85 GPM while it is alive. This replaces the base 91 GPM that previously existed. Courier passively gains 10 movement speed, 10 health, and 2 GPM increase per level. Courier gains flying movement speed at level 5. Courier gains speed burst active ability at level 10. Courier gains ability to use wards at level 15. Courier gains shield active ability at level 20. Courier gains ability to use items in general at level 25. Cure vision reduced from 350 to 200. Courier team bounty is now 25 times level XP something something.
Blah, 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 blah.
Courier respawn time rechanged from 120, 180 to 50 plus 7 times your level. So that can scale up pretty well. Like, he can be dead for a long time. And Courier return ability will now cause the Courier to return if he doesn't have me. So, apparently what we're now going to do is, like, this Courier, he's not only, like, the guy who brings us items anymore. He's like your little Pokemon. He's your own personal little buddy in this game of Dota 2. You have to care from him, and you have to protect him, or you're going to lose, because your GPM is tied to him.
Yeah, but he can use any item at level 25. Any item.
Yeah.
Your courier can have a Dagon. You can be, like, running away. E-Blade Dagon courier, dude.
Imagine you're this, like, really poor support, and then this alchemist who's six-slotted, who's been farming.
He just comes out of the jungle.
For the whole game. He just comes, like, not him, his courier.
His courier comes out.
Comes out of the jungle. And he E-Blade dings you. He does the drive-by and then he runs. Imagine just, like, trying to farm your Glimmer Cape on a wave and then just courier just comes by and it's like, pa, 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 pa. And he runs.
Yeets him.
And you're dead.
Yep. So it's really strange that your GPM, your passive GPM, you know, like, we've always had a certain level of passive GPM, which is big for supports. Mm-hmm. So now everyone gets their own courier, so no fighting over courier. That's, you know, here or there. But then the fact that it gives you your GPM, so if your courier dies, you don't get passive gold, is very, very strange. I mean, the fact that it scales with your level is kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, it even does if, mean you if you're under level, your screwed, passive gold has been reduced by a bit.
Yeah.
Well, which I think just serves to, like, because I talked about this on the last podcast. I feel like Icefrog wants to get away from the constant five. I think he wants people to fight, but he doesn't want people to fight as five from, like, minute five onwards, which is what's happening right now. So
it's weird. It's really weird.
So this you get less GPM now, which means like people will want to farm at least a bit more. Because you don't just get gold for existing.
Yeah, I mean, it's 6 less GPM per minute. So, like, in 10 minutes, that's 60 gold.
So,
It's not very impactful.
I'm going to spoiler this. The first observe economy change is that observer wards no longer cost gold. As a, like, mid player, what keeps me from just doing the warding myself now?
Arian, I have something to tell you.
Yeah.
There's never been anything to stop you from...
I mean, the gold has been stopping me. I don't want to spend gold on that.
The gold, my 80 gold as a mid player.
I don't know what stops me from just doing the warding myself now.
Aaron, nothing ever stopped you.
Like, I don't nothing even have to leave you. My I'm sorry. Lane. No, I mean, come on. As a mid player, like, I'm not going to leave my lane and go into the enemy, like, jungle and place a ward. While my
oh, you're talking about the courier.
Yeah, while my mid opponent... I mean, it's not about the gold. It has never been about the gold. It has been about the time investment that you can spend farming or contesting lane. Like, even if it's 80 gold, I'm not going to leave my lane and have the enemy leaner get, like, 2 levels on me while I go ward.
You can't do it during lane. It doesn't... It's level 15, so you better not be in lane at level 15.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about. Okay. That.
Yeah. Well, then, in the late game, like, when I'm level 15. I'm just gonna, my support's not gonna ward. Like, I don't trust my random pup teammate in the support to do a better job warding than I did. I'm just gonna yoink all the wards and send my little courier buddy out.
And if he dies, I'm gonna die. Be really sad.
Maybe.
Yep. It's gonna be dead for forever.
Yeah.
Weird. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's, yeah. The skill ceiling is just, like, has been doubled.
I mean, maybe this is just a ploy to sell more couriers, but...
You can't buy couriers. Oh, you mean the hats.
No, courier cosmetics. Yeah. I mean, I like this because, like, I think people are going to have a bit more of a, like, emotional bond towards their courier. Because it's like, it's like your little buddy. You have to protect him, but... Mm-hmm. You also have to, like, he takes care of you, but you also have to take care of him, you know?
Well, yeah.
Right now, I'm checking out my courier cosmetics and looking at who's the cutest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very, very
it's
strange.
Weird. It's surprisingly by far not the weirdest change in this patch.
Oh, not even close, yeah. So I guess the next one,
it's super hard
go to
more
economy
changes. Yeah, I'll do that. I think it's really hard to, like, see how this will impact the game.
Yeah, I mean, the using item things is honestly not a big deal. But it will be a big deal in, like, a very small amount of situations.
When
it'll be like, what the fuck? I just got
level
5 Dagon. A courier just used Necronomicon in my base, and now we lost, guys.
Okay. All right. Economy. Observer wards no longer cost gold. Heroes now start with 3 town portal scrolls. Gold earned from killing an observer ward will now always be given to the player that bought the true side. Heroes that have recently applied damage or debuff to an enemy hero that dies are now considered part of the area assist gold, even if they are no longer alive or in that area. Assist gold distribution multiplier for net worth ranking factor in the area is changed from multiplying based on the heroes in the area to globally. Net worth ranking factor for gold changed from 1.3 going to 0.7 to 1.6.
I don't understand what we just said.
Net worth ranking factor for gold. Oh,
I think
so
there's
if
something
you die,
with combat gold.
I think if, like, the net worth ranking factor is what determines how much the enemy gets. So
yeah, something like that. And then it just changed so that you'll still get assists even if you died or you are not there anymore. You TP'd out.
Goddamn support players, man.
What are they
going to
do? What do we have left to do?
Like, support players literally raged about support play being too hard and unrewarding for like 5 years now, even though it becomes easier and easier. And look where we are now. Like, what does a support even do?
Aaron, how dare you? How dare you?
Like, you can't ward.
How dare you?
Like, there's no reason why you should be the one warding anymore. there's no reason why you should be the one not to like tank for the team and not have any items. Like, you get 3 town portal scrolls. Such you don't have disrespect. To buy anything.
That is
I
really
play
nice,
support
yeah.
sometimes. Like, it feels so easy even before.
Oh my god. Everybody else who. In
mad
podcast.
Respect to support players. It's still pretty hard. Well.
Yeah, but it's, you know, obs are free. Just get them all the time. Everybody yeah. buy them.
Everybody buy them. 3 town portal schools is also really nice.
Yeah, it's like. You're never going to be like, oh, dang it. I just died and I have 40 gold. Yeah. I need to sit here for
Enables
a while.
Enables you to feed more in lane. Very cool.
Perfect for you, Aaron.
Perfect, yeah. Also, the net worth rank, like the way so you can die but you still get assist gold. It's not for XP, and I think XP is going to be really important in this patch. So I don't think it's that important. Because, like, spoiler about the, like, neutral swapping items, because you can't buy those with gold, it just means that you're devaluing gold overall in the game. Because there's this other source of like power through items, which is like, is completely detailed. It's like cryptocurrency. Like,
great, dude. Keep it going. Drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah, but I like it as a mid player as well, because I can like die and still be kind of rewarded for my kill, even though I don't get the XP.
Yeah, well, it's nice if you like TP out or something too. It's like you're not removed from the situation.
This is some good coffee, dude.
Oh, I'll have some of my coffee too. Well, we talk about the new map layout changes.
Yeah, so what they did is this is always the hardest part to discuss on the podcast, but basically they made the mid lanes. The 3 areas they changed is the mid lanes. Well, they changed a lot, but like the 3 main areas is the mid lanes, the like edge of the safe lanes, and the like triangle.
They changed everything.
Basically, yeah.
So Roche now has a really big front lawn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like Roche is, I think, a little farther northeast, northwest than he was.
Yeah. I like what they did to the map. We can't really talk about it too much because people have to see for themselves. But in the triangle areas, they finally tried to address the like imbalance between Radiant and Dire win rate. Because the reason why Radiant win rate was so good is because the like triangle, which is really easy to defend for them, was right next to Roche. So they made the Radiant triangle way harder to defend, but you know, it's still next to Roche, so it's still worth defending it, even if it's a bit harder. But they made it, just by how the map works now, they made it harder to defend, and they left the Dire triangle basically the same.
Yeah, I don't know.
And in the mid
I don't know how it's gonna work.
They made the mid lanes way easier to gank. Because there's there's trees super close to the lanes now. Like where people stand in the mid lane.
The bounty runes are also really close to the mid lanes.
Yeah, support like, can like sneak quickly. Up on you until like 500 units and then just like yoink you. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Yeah, also for Dire, the bottom rune is way easier to get for the Dire mid laner than the Radiant mid laner. It's 300 units or something closer. Because, map changes are always so for the Radiant Dire mid lane, I think it's a big advantage how the runes work now.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, contesting runes wasn't really that meta even before.
Yeah. We didn't even mention where the bounty runes are now.
Oh yeah. The bounty runes are back to the middle.
Well, they're in the middle of it's like if you take where the existing bounty rune spots were last patch, yesterday. Yeah. They're now in the middle of that. So they're farther out to the corners than they used to be. And then there's another bounty rune at the
side shop spots. Not at the side shops, because those don't exist anymore.
Well, spoilers. Yeah. Mm. The next biggest change is that heroes now level up to level 30. So this starts the theme of the patch of Whenever I explain to people who didn't play Dota, if they've heard of like League of Legends or any other like MOBA games, I'm like, so what, you know, how is Dota different? Like, what makes Dota better? You know, why do you like Dota? Why is it more fun? I'm like, listen, imagine if just you took every hero or champion or whatever in your League of Legends and you just made everybody imbalanced. That's how Dota works. Everybody is imba, and therefore there is balance somehow. Right? Like, about, we have such big spells.
Exactly. Like, contrary to League, it's not about doing something balanced. It's countering the insane stuff that your enemies
Yeah, do. With another insane thing.
Yeah, Dota is all about counterplay.
Yeah, this patch just like doubles that up, where there are such ridiculous opportunities for like huge power spikes. So at level 30, first off, to get there, the XP requirements go from 3,500 to level 26 to 7,500 XP for level 30, which is like three to four regular levels. It's a lot of XP to get there. So it's like, not just like, you know, quickly.
You'd get this at like, I think like 70 or 75 minutes as a core even.
It depends if like people have been farming. Like, I saw it way faster if people are just AFK jungling, which, spoiler alert, happens. Yeah, but the respawn time thing doesn't increase past 25, though, which is really big, I feel like. And also, the XP bounties stop getting bigger after 25, which is strange. I figured it would be like a comeback gold mechanic or something, a comeback XP mechanic, something. But nope, you just keep going, and you keep getting stats and stuff, too. So everybody's going to be stronger by default if you get to level 30. And the craziest thing is, at level 30, you get all talents. So, like, either side of the tree, you get both of them for every level. Cool. Which is busted on some heroes. Oh my god.
It's a crazy power spike. But I think you're level 30, so overall, you're going to have, like, 7 items. So, overall, percentage-wise, this is probably just, like, a 20% power increase, I'd say.
It's so variable hero to hero, right? Because some heroes have really hard talent.
I mean, that's like PA, choices. For example, her 25 talents is either 3 daggers or 5% coup de grace chance. I choose the coup de grace chance, but now at level 30, I can have both. Hello,
and you'll get bonus cleave and lifesteal and damage and health or something. I don't even remember. Some heroes, this doesn't do anything, and it's awful. It's like, oh boy, my talents just aren't that exciting. Then some heroes, it just breaks. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's insane. Also, the thing, in the vast majority of games, you're not going to get to us. But remember, we said this about when the level 20, when talents came out. We said this about some of the obtained 25 talents. We're like, yeah, you're never going to get all of this. But nowadays, they're still like a relevant part of the game. You think about them a lot. You're like, oh no, I don't want this guy to get level 25 and something.
Yeah. We've adapted to be aware that it will happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
But level 30, I mean, it takes a long, long time. It
takes a long time.
It's the start of the end game content of Dota 2 that we will have to get into later.
I guess.
But like, Ice Frog is done watching your game. Past 70 minutes, Ice Frog's done. At 71 minutes, Ice Frog is going to turn off the TV. So you better be finished by then.
Yeah, the balance ends at 75 minutes in Dota.
Yeah. So spell immunity no longer gives you 100% magic resistance. I don't like it just like syntactically. It basically means that if you have a spell that pierces BKB that does magic damage, it will now also do the magic damage. Which I don't really like it
so much, man.
I don't understand. Whew. It's got to be something with the way they want spell amp and magic resist to work.
Yeah.
Because so like, I always liked that pure damage pierced BKB and magic damage was always blocked because it was very like straightforward to understand what was going to do damage to you.
Oh, I love this change so much. I hated BKB. I hated the concept of BKB.
Everybody, you don't even have to mention that.
Nerfing this goddamn item. It's just like...
Dude, I'm not going to buy BKB, man. They have BKB piercing spells.
Personal buff to me as a player.
I hate that it enables your BKB-less behavior.
It's such a personal buff to me because everybody, literally, everybody in this freaking game buys the stupid goddamn item.
That's except not true me. Anymore.
Except me. Oh, so everybody gets nerfed, except me. Which means comparatively I get buffed.
I can't.
I love this so much, believe man. This. I always think about this. That there's so much fun abilities in Dota. You shouldn't have a way to just like not make them exist. The fun of Dota is trying to like play around stuff and find things around.
You can. You do have things that go around. They're called BKB piercing spells, right?
Yeah, but you have like one thing that you're locked in that you have to buy, and I do not like that.
I don't think it's been that way for years. I think that used to be Dota, but now like there's you don't have to.
Yeah.
It's just in certain situations, it is the way to win the game.
Still, but like now, what keeps me from just like getting status resistance with every hero? It's almost as good as a BKB now.
Oh my god. No. We're not going to have the Aaron, you need to buy a BKB conversation here, because you'll never accept
it. So you think I still have to buy a BKB in this situation?
I think this changes very, very little, honestly.
What? Are you crazy?
So what spells pierce BKB that do magic damage that like were negated before? I mean, they changed some other spell immune stuff.
Patch Wolf, okay. For example. Okay.
Wait, it did pure damage, right?
No, it did magic.
No, damage. I get you would know. Okay. I guess that is huge because Pudge can do ridiculous damage.
Clockwork, Hookshot did magic damage, but the stun pierced spell immunity.
Yeah, it's not very much.
Puck did the same thing.
That is weird, actually.
Most ultimates in the game, like their disabling component, you pierces BKB. And now they pierce BKB, period.
Yeah, I guess maybe it will.
I think it's quite significant. I don't think it's like insanely significant, but I think it's quite significant.
Yeah, I guess we'll have to see, because I also messed around with like people's spell immune, BKB piercing spells
and
stuff.
I'm not going to buy BKB for the like.
We know next that. Just you can just stop just talking to be there. Safe,
because you know.
Just to be safe, dude.
We really don't know how this patch is gonna pan out, and I don't want to be on the wrong side of things, where like you shouldn't have bought BKB, but I actually bought BKB.
How embarrassing!
How embarrassing would that be? So I'll just be safe and not buy it. All right, next change.
Burn the side shops to the ground.
Remove side shops. Rip, man.
I can't believe it. People dared to joke when they like started removing some items from the side shop. Like, oh, what's Ice Rock going to do? Just remove the side shop next patch?
It's like, goddamn. Well,
yep. How dare you tempt me?
Removed side shops. Rest in peace. Ball removed from the secret shops. All secret shop items are now exclusively in the secret shop. This means
which means you can't buy health on the base.
Yeah, that's I like it. I still like I bought those two items. I was like, wait, I can just buy those on base. What the hell? I mean,
but they're like,
I think the secret shop is fundamentally a good idea because it promotes people having to move on the map, even if they're behind, and try to secure map for themselves.
Yeah, but like,
and the side shops didn't really offer that. Nobody was like, all right, guys, I have to go to the side shop really quick. Can we get up some vision here? Like, nobody did that.
No, like,
because the side shops didn't have anything exclusive.
No, it was huge to buy TPs, at least for me.
You always only had one TP. I buy TPs a lot, but... Yeah, but you know what I mean. Like, I'm a player who never runs out of TPs. You just have to think ahead now.
Because you always hog the courier for TPs?
True.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like you can be stranded out there now, and you can't buy a TP. So I feel it's pretty big.
Well, Bear, this is actually a huge nerf to Bear. Because all Bear does is push out side lanes and buy TPs at the side shop.
Yeah. It is good, though. So it's weirdly out of order. They've replaced the side shop with a new building called an outpost. So you can like capture the outpost by channeling. It's a very like, I guess Heroes of the Storm.
It's like capture the flag, yeah.
Yeah, and it gives you like flying vision in the area, and you can TP to it like it's a tower. Mm. So it's like a undestroyable map control element.
So it's 25 XP times the minutes of the game. So like at 40 minutes, this can be a lot of XP.
Every time you capture it, and then every 5 minutes on the clock, you whoever captures it, whichever team has it, gets XP. Mm-hmm. And XP is king.
What's important about... Yeah, XP is super important this patch. I think those outposts are going to be... Like, I think the outposts are going to be infinitely more important than the side jobs. The only thing about this that's kind of weird is that if you have two outposts, so if you have both outposts, you mm-hmm. still get the same amount of XP.
Really?
Yeah. It says... Where is it? Let me see.
Regardless if you have one or two outposts controlled. Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. So
if you'll get the capture bonus, but yeah. Yeah, so it's more about denying the enemy
exactly.
XP than
I think this is important because the outposts are really strong, because this just basically means Icefrog is acknowledging that the outposts are still so strong and like valuable and worth contesting that it would be too broken to have two outposts going for your team at the same time, because you would just ball out of control.
Yeah, it's an anti-snowball thing.
Yeah, I like this. I think it promotes promotes going like being active on the map even more than a secret shop does.
It feels really abusable and like snowbally to me still, though.
The thing is, it changes your starting items so much, because like people like Ursi, he goes to sleep and then dreams about how to spend his starting gold. Like he'll have to do that all over again because you can't buy your Quelling Blades in the side shop anymore.
Yeah. Oh, you can, can no longer get yelled at for bringing a Quelling Blade to land then. Mm. Oh, no, you have your own personal courier, though, but it's so slow. Yeah, I don't know. The fact that they just yoinked it out of the game, it's just, I guess, we have to adapt.
Well, I'm a mid player, so...
Yeah. Nobody else matters.
It's good.
Tier 2 towers were also buffed, damage,
night vision, this is just stuff like that. Made to, like, I think, because what's been happening in this game, in the meta right now, is, like, you're 5-man... And if you lose your 5-man team fights, you just start defending high ground. And I think that like mid stage of the game, even when you're losing, Icefrog wants to keep that going, which is why he put in the outposts.
Anti-snowball.
Exactly, yeah, it's anti-snowball. So he wants you to, even if you're behind, he gives you these objectives that are actually worth contesting, which means venturing out of your high ground.
Mm-hmm.
And now because tier 2
Glyph lasts 7 seconds, so
yeah,
you have time to do that.
Tier 2 towers are way stronger now, so you'll have like your circle of tier 2 towers, which makes you a bit safer now.
Yeah, your map won't just
I really like
this.
The anti-snowball is pretty important. I feel like just because you got lucky one team fight doesn't mean you should instantly win the next team fight, which was pretty much the case. Yeah.
Though, just because we've been talking about some anti-snowball elements doesn't mean that the game is going to be less snowbally now.
True.
We'll get to that later, I think.
You want to talk about the neutral items, Nick?
Let's get through everything else real fast. Supposedly, they changed some input processing to feel snappier, but honestly, I was like getting weird bugs issuing commands last night, I feel like. Or maybe I was just stunned by something hidden. I don't know. So they say things will be snappier now and they'll have less drops. Sure. When you deny a tower, you split the bounty with the enemy instead of just totally denying it to the enemy, which is interesting.
I mean, it's a net, it's anti-snowball.
A little bit, yeah.
Because if you're richer than them, you're not going to care about it that much.
Yeah, it's a nice little consolation prize to the enemy. Yeah. And my favorite, so the fountain damage got buffed a little bit, and then they brought back the accuracy mechanic again.
I like this.
Oh my gosh.
Goddamn.
Have you ever
PA
tried to explain how accuracy works, though? Accuracy works?
It's a 20% chance to have 2-strike.
Yeah, but like, what the heck does that mean? You try to calculate it with like, okay, so PA has 50% mischance on her. I have 20% accuracy. And then I'm also attacking uphill or something.
If her evasion doesn't proc, the accuracy is going to be wasted. But it just means that you have a
But it's like, what does it actually mean for my DPS? It's so unintuitive. Yeah, this is like, a famous.
I mean, MKB was the same.
No, but MKB does like a bonus damage thing.
Yeah, but it's 75.
I guess MKB is like... technically, sure. But it's not like... it's very easy to think how MKB affects your damage,
true,
right?
True.
Yeah. No, this is just a famous... We always like... We tried to figure out on Bottle Crow, and then they kept changing it. Remember when Atos gave accuracy?
I don't.
Can you believe that?
I don't remember.
Like month or two when they changed Atos four times? It's crazy. Neutral unit balance, that like magic resist aura that some of the tiny creeps have doesn't stack anymore.
Get wrecked, dude. You can't have the same shitty Aaron, fucking red creep anymore.
This is a buff to you.
Is it?
A storm spirit.
Yeah.
Storm spirit. The magic resist things don't stack anymore.
Very cool. Very cool.
And then they changed some weirdness about like mana pool on some people and some other rescaling stuff that doesn't necessarily matter. But now for the biggest thing, I guess. I don't know. We're an hour. Do you need to take a break, Arian? Do we need to take a breather here?
Relax.
We got to limber ourselves up. Unrelated, somewhat related. You have four backpack slots now.
Yeah. To carry all those items from the...
Bigger backpack?
Neutral items. What the hell, man?
I saw a great joke. A great... comment. You know how people are saying like, oh, Dota has like one tutorial thing that they made a while ago and forgot. Mm-hmm. We need to improve the new player experience, right? People are saying that.
Yeah, let's just put
and 60
items
like, okay. In. Okay, you want a new player experience. Here you go. Here's Dota 7.23.
Everybody
here's
just,
62
just
new items.
God.
62.
Yeah. All right. So
What the heck?
Neutrals now drop unique items that cannot be sold but can be shared with allies. There are 5 tiers of items that drop over the course of the game. Within each tier, the odds get cut by half for each subsequent drop.
Items so if you get a drop,
yeah, the, items the of a specific type will only drop once for each team. Drops only begin after 5 minutes. There are 62 unique items in total. Backpack slots are increased to 4. Let's... discuss the drop mechanics and then talk about this change in general and then we talk about each item.
Yes, because we will want to talk about each item. So here, I'll give you Wickram.
Yeah.
Thank goodness. Praise Wickram. He gave a little, here, I'll put it in general if we like to. I think I put it in general. So it's really weird how the chance works because the chance is pseudo random on a per tier. So there's 5 tiers of items that unlock at different times in the game. And then also it's per tier and a per team basis. So if like one person on your team found an item of this tier,
everybody's going
to
have
for you to
that chance
get
cut
the next one is lower. Yeah.
So for 5 to 15 minutes, it's a 10% chance starting out. And then after you find one, it's going to be 5% for your whole team. And then a 2.5 and then a 1.25% chance. And
though
the way,
it is also pseudo-random.
Yeah, it's pseudo-random. So the way like chance works means that the more items you get, it gets exponentially less likely to get another item. So like getting 6 items will be like way, 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 way less likely than getting 4 items.
Yeah.
So for tier 1...
But it's of each tier. So like...
Yeah.
The tiers last 10 minutes.
So it's basically going to average out that mostly each team between the players of that team are going to have about the same amount of items between them for each tier.
No.
Depending on how much they farm.
Heavily disagree. Yes, heavily dependent on how much they farm.
Well, I mean, the
like
way 10%, this, like...
10% sounds really high, right? It's just like, oh, 10 neutrals? Yeah. I can kill 10 neutrals. And then you think about, like, how many neutrals are there in a jungle? There's not that many neutrals, depending
camps.
On which camp spawn.
Well, no, what so, I'm like, saying is the way this, like, chance cut in half thing
in
works
a vacuum.
Is
in a
vacuum,
yeah.
You can't just farm more. Well, if you farm more, you're going to have maybe one more item. But you can't get like 3 more items just by farming more neutrals because the chance.
Sure, it's diminishing returns.
Yeah.
But because the drop rate's so low, like it took me 3 or 4 games in order to see one of these items at all.
Yeah.
It was really strange. I was like, this should be higher. But boy.
So like,
let's just give the tier time. So tier 1, 5 to 15, tier 2, 15 to 25. 25 to 35, 35 to 45, 45 to 70 for tier 4, and then tier 5 is only after 70 minutes.
God. Well, and like
we have end game items now.
So like tier 1 items are kind of funny. Sometimes pretty good, like Iron Talon or PMS, but like they're like they would cost like 100 to 500 gold in the real game.
Oh, I heavily disagree.
You think so? Well, maybe the mango tree is kind of busted.
There's a bunch of them that I...
Then there's tier 2 items. They're like pretty strong already. They're like Aquila and stuff. Tier 3 items are like maybe like 3 to 4k gold items. Tier 4 are like your true endgame items. So they're like as strong as a heart or something. And tier 5 is just like game-breaking busted. I don't
know. Tier 5 is Dota Imba items.
Yeah, honestly.
Almost literally Dota Imba items. Here, just as a sneak peek once we get there, because it'll take us forever. Tier 5 item, Fallen Sky, is a recipe. Oh, we'll talk about that. So it combines Blink Dagger and Meteor Hammer, right? You know, of course. Mm-hmm. You get a blink that is 1600 range that doesn't get canceled by damage, but the blink turns you into a meteor from Meteor Hammer.
And it,
you know, applies a Meteor Hammer stun and damage.
I mean, I don't think that's even that crazy. I think the craziest is Apex. Increases your primary attribute by 80%. Imagine being a centaur who's level 30, because once you get this, you are going to be level 30. You have like 200 strength or some shit. And then you're
How about having 450 strength?
Let me get this Apex item. Oh, yeah.
Apex legend, dude.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
But so that's the thing. Some of these items are items. Mm-hmm. They're just like on their own items. And some of them are just recipes to combine items. So like there's the Triumvirate item from Dota Imba. It's the KYS, the Kanj, my gosh. Kaya, Sanj, Yasha. Kaya, Yasha, Sanj, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it finally combines them all. But it's just the recipe, right? So you can't buy this thing.
Okay, so let's stay on
the
general
you can't buy
before we go into the items. So they're going to drop. You can't just farm more. So, like, the drop chances are RNG, which I hate. They try to make the amount of items that you get, like, it's not going to be that RNG. Mostly in most games, you're going to have about the same amount of items as the enemy. Even if they farm a lot more.
No.
I mean,
no,
if
no,
they
no.
farm four times as much as you, they're maybe going to have twice as much items. So, like, it's not...
No, I heavily disagree.
All right, why? Why do you disagree?
Well, maybe it'll change, but, like... Well, it definitely will change. The way you play the game is totally scrap. Just scrap everything you know. Because they kept nerfing neutrals, right? They kept reducing the bounty and, like, making them worse and worse. And now they've just made them godlike.
Yeah.
Because there's this crazy... I don't know. I think the game is way more snowball-y at the moment, but you know, it's only been a day or so and I've only played 5 games, some of them turbo, but some of these items are so, the fact that you can just get them as RNG is crazy.
Mm-hmm. Well, as it's I said, like, I don't like the RNG part. I think
not good.
I like that you're going to have about the same, because like, let's say you want one tier 2 item. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to kill about 20 creeps. If you want 2, you're going to have to kill 40. If you want 10, 20. If you want 3, you want to have to kill 40. If you want 4, you're going to have to kill 50. 80.
But every 10 minutes up until 45 minutes, it resets.
Yeah, exactly. But you're still going to have about the same amount of item on each team. Plus minus 1 or 2.
I don't know why you think that.
Because like there's only so many creeps on the map.
The 10% chance is so low.
It's not,
well, that's what I mean.
There's
yeah.
only so like, many creeps on the map. So,
but at 30 minutes, each team is not going to have been just like farming their jungle equally, right? Like, there's a give and take, and like, you can't just,
exactly, but
depending on how the game goes,
I mean,
maybe
between
you don't touch
your
the
whole
neutrals
team, even if you don't farm that much. Well, first of all, the way the map changes work, you're gonna, even if you're losing hard, you're gonna own certain neutral camps where you can farm them safely.
Mm.
Probably.
Mm,
and if not, then that's just new Dota. You have to play in a way where you have to own a part of the map to get the new...
Sure, yeah. But like if you don't, you know, if the map is dark at 25 minutes, you're like screwed.
Let's say the enemy just owns a part of your jungle.
Yeah.
So let's say they clear about 50 creeps every minute. And you clear about like 15 creeps every minute. They're going to have about maybe like 30 or 40% more items than you. If this goes on for
just,
the whole map.
There's just the sample size is way too low for thinking about it this way,
in
my opinion.
I like how the RNG works. I mean, I don't like RNG, period, but I think the RNG is okay, like, for how many items you get. But because I'm assuming the drop chances for each item are equal, first of all, you cannot bank on getting any of these items. You cannot be like, hey, I'll pick this Snapfire hero, and she's really good with this one tier 2 item, so I hope I'm going to get it. Because there's like, what, 10 or something? No, there's like something around 15 items per level. And in a 10% chance, you have like a maybe like a 2% chance per game of getting a specific item that you want. So you can't bank around it. And just like how this works is that even though if you're like on a even playing field, if both teams farm the same amount of neutrals, they're going to have the same amount of items, but just because it's so much RNG, what item you get, some of these items are going to be wildly more useful for the enemy team than your items are for your team.
Yeah. And oh, we should say, I like that you cannot sell these items.
Yeah, you cannot.
But you can share them.
Exactly. So what they're, I like is totally this, shareable within it promotes team play. So what I think is another factor that kind of diminishes the RNG component of this is that for most items in most team comps, sure, maybe the item won't fit any hero perfectly, but because you're 5 heroes and you can share them, in a team environment where people actually share the items they get, which I'm not sure if it's going to happen. Well, the thing is, I think you're going to have a decent amount of item per tier, so I think mostly these items are going to be plentiful enough where, like, you won't... Maybe not with tier 5 items. What I'm saying is that the diminishing RNG component is that there's probably gonna be one hero on your team that can't, like, the item will kind of fit him. Like, he would kind of build this sometimes. Even if it doesn't fit them perfectly. And what I'm scared about is just, like, let's say it's, like, 40 minutes. And like one of the enemy just like unlocks the perfect item, which is literally perfect for his hero, and suddenly his net worth just effectively increased by like, I don't know, 4K or something. That's what I'm scared of. I'm not scared of the RNG over a lot of games averaging out. I'm scared of losing a specific Dota game where I spent 1 hour just because the enemy got the perfect item, because I don't care.
I think
about
late tier is important.
Exactly, like, because when people lose that one game where they're gonna lose a game just because of the RNG, they're not gonna care that it averages out over a lot of games. They're just gonna be mad.
Yeah, no, I mean that definitely doesn't work. But even starting off earlier, Some of these tier 1 items.
Mango tree?
Is like,
what the hell?
The thing is, these percentages are so low that I think what you're thinking about, like, I'm glad that they are diminishing return, you know, exponentially decreasing. That is very good. But because they're so low, it still is RNG. You still could kill 2 neutrals and get 2 items, you know, something egregious like that.
Yeah.
You could get that, and then that's just RNG. You just got it.
Yeah.
Like... Or that's you could true. Be the enemy team and you could kill 20 creeps and you don't get a single item. And that changes. That's like, these true. Items will change,
like,
the game
Pool
immediately
Man Shield.
As soon as you get
them. It's really good. Getting that in 10 it minutes, is. It's not useless. It's really good. Mango Tree, I don't know how that's balanced. 1 mango every minute.
Oh, Mango Tree is amazing.
3
oh
mango yeah, we'll for, like, your entire team.
Yeah.
All right, let's get through the
I
items.
I mean, let's say some items, and then by the end, we'll realize how people realize how crazy they are.
Tier 1
item. Because I keep looking at these and finding new ones go back and read the patch notes. I'm like, what?
Tier 1 item. Keen Optic. 75 cast range plus 1.5 mana regen.
It's a mini Aether lens.
Yeah, it's a mini Aether lens. It's not that big. Next
item. 1.5 mana regen.
That's true. Really that's good. Pretty big at 10 minutes.
How much does a Bassy give? I forget. It's probably
less.
Half of that.
Yeah.
Leos. It is... it's 1.25. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Royal Jelly. Consumable that comes with two charges. Permanently grants 2.5 HP regen and 1.25 mana regen to the target unit. Does not stack on the same unit. So if you're greedy and just use it on self... It's basically like a Perseverance that doesn't take any slots.
It's really nice. Like,
yeah, it's really good.
This could be a huge difference in lane. Like, if you
find this... Yeah, in lane, this shit is... I mean, it only starts at 5 minutes, so you're not going to start out with this.
Sure. So I guess at 5 minutes, no, that region isn't as big. But, like, if you find it literally at 5:01, this is huge. If you find it at, 14 minutes, it doesn't do almost anything.
Poor man's shield...
Poor man's shield.
My god. It's back.
These patch notes, just says poor man's shield. It's back.
Yeah, it's really good. Yep. It's a good item. Especially now since the other shield is removed from the game. Spoilers.
Yep, stout shield.
Ocean Heart.
Alright,
let's alternate.
Yeah.
Your turn.
Okay, Uranium Heart will take Ocean Heart. Grants plus 4 stats and then gives you 10 HP and 5 mana regen when you're in water.
I'd rate this just like in power ranking. Wise, I'd rate this about the same as a drum, because there's so much water on the map now. Which is crazy!
Yeah.
Like, this having this at 10 minutes just because, it's crazy.
It's a little weird. I don't know. I'm not sure how much it actually helps you. I got this one game, and it was very... I mean, the plus 4 stats is actually really
sounds
great,
like a mad plus bad to me, to be honest. I think this is
mad
really useful.
Mad plus bad.
10 HP regen in the water. Like, when you're playing mid, you just go in the river and heal up pretty quick.
It's not really fast. I mean, 10 seconds gets you 100
HP. Yeah, but
HP.
You can combine it with roaming, and then I'd rather spend, like, 30 seconds roaming around in the water and be full HP and full mana instead of spending 15 seconds
splash
in base.
Sure, it helps with trading a little bit, but like as a mid lane, you can't just stand in the river.
Yeah,
you're just
gonna
get harassed from there.
Well, it's still useful, I think. 10 HP regen is a lot when you have like 600 HP.
Yeah, it's still
good. And 5 mana regen is insane. Iron Talon, he's back.
Iron Talon. It's this exact same.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's
another.
I think we're
like,
under...
If you get this item at 5 minutes, it's like...
Yeah, overall, before we like... I know we shouldn't say any general things, but... I think these items are so specific to heroes. Like, some of these items are just useless on some heroes. I think for a lot of these items, you're just going to share them because they're almost useless to him. Even in pub games, like, if it's almost useless to you, you might as well give it to your core player. Maybe not, like,
if
in Herald.
If they keep...
But I think, honestly, I think highly enough of most pub players, even if they're toxic, that they would give out some of these items. Not all, but some.
I think if they keep this everything here we're talking about the same way, like if they for the long term, which they won't, I think we need like a bank.
Yeah,
we need a building that is a bank, so you can like display what you have and you can like share them around, because people just start dropping stuff in the base because you don't have slots for this at it.
I mean, you have 4 backpacks,
it's useless. Yeah, but like it fills up pretty fast. You'll see. Yeah.
Especially in the early game. I feel like it's
early
fine. Even those supports have way... Also, the courier, Nick. You can just put them on your new courier because you have a personal courier. You can just have him follow you
the
around.
The bank of courier. It's the
and
money.
Yeah, the courier is your bank. You have to have him follow you around and like give out items and stuff. Or stash some items in that belly. All right,
stash
next
some
item.
Items in that belly.
Mango tree.
Consumable plants a mango tree, provides unlimited mango power. Every 60 seconds, a mango drops.
That's
and
so
it provides
broken,
800 vision.
I don't think you plant this like... I think you either plant this under your tower or in your base.
No, so I was playing... I played a game as OD.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how there's the camp right next to mid lane?
Oh, yeah.
You're the neutral camp?
There.
So
wait,
how
visible
think,
is it, Nick?
It's extremely visible.
I don't want my enemies to get this, so I think I just plant it in base, and then every time you, like, go back to base,
you can
just load up on some mangoes.
So, on... Is it Tyre or Radiant? Whatever the bottom side, gosh, Radiant side, there's that camp right next to mid lane, right? And now, right next to it, is the ramp up to, like, the higher plateau. I had a support plant a mango tree there for me. And so I would, like, go, you know, I push the wave, and then I go take that neutral camp. And while I'm taking the neutral camp, I get, like, two mangoes for free. And then I just, like, rinse, repeat.
Man, you could
just
jungle that triangle area. I love these weird items so much. I love stuff that, like, you... Because it's, like, this item... Surface value, just a really weird item, but it adds so many options that you have to think about it. Because if you get this item, you're either going to think, because if I use it now, like in my and plant it under my tower, it's going to be really, really, really useful now. But if I just plant this in my base, it's not going to be as useful now, but it's going to be useful for the entire length of the game. So what you actually want.
Yeah, but like mangoes, it's like, you know, how much
I mean, like, Nick.
There's a lot of things to think about.
Nick. You have the courier. You can just use your
courier. You're gonna just shove
to shove mangoes from the
base
from your mango
plant.
You can build a mango plantation in your base, and then just have the courier.
You're going to seize the means of mango production. I get it.
No, you can just have a mango plantation in your base and have the courier
ferry. You own the production, and you own the distribution network. I get it, dude.
All right, arcane.
Are you even European?
8 int plus 3 armor. Activate to restore 75 mana to all allies in the 1.200 AoE of you, cooldown 40 seconds. Like a mixture between
like
Basi and mana boots, I guess.
It doesn't give regen, but it does give int.
Yeah, it gives effective regen. Int? It gives an effective almost 2 mana regen because of the active.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right.
So it's like a Basi it's like a Basi, but... I mean, it's better if it works like mana boots because it means your enemies, your teammates can benefit from it even if they don't.
Yeah, burst.
If they're not in the mana range. Yeah.
Damn, that is. Yeah, 40 seconds. It's good. Imagine getting that item at 5 minutes.
Yeah,
great.
It's not as interesting as mango tree, but it's still cool.
No, nothing. So I'll say all 62 of these items, I love the concept of. It's how you get them that.
Yes,
you
know, exactly. I love these items.
Like. But all these items are crazy.
But I mean, so I get elixir, why they did this, because you can't have all these in the shop.
I don't know. Elixir, though, is like a super potion. It has 3 charges and it restores a bunch of HP and mana.
Yeah.
It's cool. Baroom handle, plus 35 melee attack range. Okay. Plus 12 damage and plus 3 armor.
This is pretty good.
It's so 12 damage, 3 armor, and then a weird melee.
Yeah, if you're melee hero, this is like 40 damage. This is worth like, what?
5 minutes, your CK gets this and just like goes on a rampage. Yeah. Absolutely destroys the lane.
All right.
It's probably not that broken, but.
Ironwood tree. Recipe can be used to combine with 3 ironwood branches to create an ironwood tree. Tree provides plus 7 all stats and the ability to plant a special tree. What's that special tree? I haven't seen it yet.
It's the GG tree.
What's
you
the
remember?
GG
like
tree?
I think it's a tree that says GG.
Oh, okay. So it's just a meme.
It's so
just
BM.
Plus 7
it has
stats.
A 4-second cooldown.
Well, this is still good. This is a good item.
Oh wait, no. It's the mental damage that they take is incredible.
So you basically
kill somebody in lane and you plant a GG on their tree.
So
body.
You basically. You get this item, and then you have the option of spending 150 gold and get really value
stats. To get
plus
7 stats. That is so
valuable.
And
the ability to tilt your enemy.
I'm going to like listen to Purge's 9-hour stats video whenever it comes out because it's still rendering. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait till he gets to this because I know he's going to be like, what?
Wait, he's not still
That's
going?
That's so good, dude. the video is still rendering because it's 9 hours long.
Oh, nice.
Supposedly, yeah. But I mean, plus 7 all stats
that's pretty good.
Is so good. Yeah, especially because you only have to spend 150 gold to get that. And then the GG tree is super BM. The biggest tier 1 item.
Trusty shovel.
Plus 150 health. Activate to dig to find a bounty rune, a flask. What is a flask? I don't actually... What is a flask?
I think it's a bottle.
A bottle. I get. Yeah. There's no item called the flask. Thanks, Bob. A 2-charged TP scroll
bundle
or
value.
A kobold. A bundle. Bundle, dude. And it's a 70-second cooldown.
Imagine you like you have a shovel.
And it's like you you know it's never, it
then you're like, your back. Ah, it's never going to give you up. This fucking shovel, I don't want this. So you dig. And then you dig up a kobold. And then you're like, oh god, I'm so done. Then you kill this kobold. And then it gives you a really good item. It gives you like an essence ring.
Oh my god, rinse, repeat.
No, I think it's only one. I think you can only use it once, right?
No, it has a 70-second cooldown.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's basically like the shovel consumable, but it's actually useful in-game.
Yeah, it gives you health, which is nice. Yeah. Lastly is the Faded Brooch, which gives you 225 mana, respectable, and 20 move speed.
Yeah. All right. Next, tier 2 items. This is where it gets really good. Grove Bow. 100 attack range, adds a minus 12 magic resistance debuff on attack. That's pretty good. Like, imagine being... This is like the perfect item for Lina or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but nothing like huge to say about it, I feel like. Some of these items
are just good. It's just quality. Like, for some reason.
But this is something efficient. We've never had, though. Magic resistance debuffs on attacks.
Yeah. It's a little funky. Vampire fangs are also kind of strange. Plus 10% lifesteal, plus 450 night vision, and plus 10% spell lifesteal.
Yeah. You know what I think,
Nick? On a lifesteal item.
I feel like the tiers are kind of messed up sometimes. I feel like some of these items could be tier 1, and some of the... I don't think Mango Tree is a tier 1 item if you use it right.
You really have grand plans of being a mango tycoon. Oh god, you got to go into business with Ice Frog.
The potential with this thing is so insane. Because you get one use those every Patreon minute. Bucks you to plant send this thing in your base, Nick. And your whole team can just say, okay, we won't buy mana items anymore. We just use mangoes all the time. this could be just like an effective 5k gold for your team. Oh, it's so good.
How much does a mango cost? Mango.
70. Nick, the mango.
70 gold?
The mango economy.
So it's 70 GPM.
Nick, the mango economy.
Actually, your base is 85 GPM. It's like almost another hero worth of GPM.
It's so
But good. You can't. I guess.
It's. I mean, oh. I don't think it's worth 70.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Mangoes stack now, too, by the way.
What do you mean they stack?
They stack in your inventory.
No way! All right, this is broken.
Oh, no, this is the mango patch. This is
broken, dude. If you get two of these, man, you can't lose.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, imagine you're like a... imagine you're Storm Spirit. You just go like, straight Orchid or something. Who needs a Bloodstone?
Do you just buy 10 mangoes? And
no, you don't buy mangoes. You have mango plantation in your base, and you use your personal courier to U-Haul those to you.
Yeah.
God, the mango tree, man. Okay, all right, let's keep going. Next item here, go on.
Okay. Vampire. Ring of Aquila is back. I'm back.
He's back, boys.
It's Ring of Aquila, yeah. Okay, here's the really weird one.
Yeah,
I can't believe
this is one
tier
of the
two.
Weirdest.
Repair kit. It has 3 charges, and it's you target a building, and it restores 40% of its HP over 30 seconds. It's not a fixed amount. It's percentage-based.
Yeah, and then also...
I mean, it's 30 seconds.
Yeah, I think it's current HP. So, like, if you tower's 1 HP, you can't restore it. But it also provides it with permanent... Oh, no, during this period, it provides it with
not.
10 armor and 4 multi-shot. Oh, it's not
40%
current...
of its total.
Okay. Well, this is good. You can, wait until the enemies go on the tower attack, and then suddenly the tower's just hyper strong.
Yeah.
You can use this
for
30
seconds.
Fortify.
It'll have that
like, if multi-shot. The enemy makes the mistake of diving you under your tower, and then you use Repair Kit plus Fort, this thing is, seven attacks. 7 times multi-shot.
I guess it would stack, probably. Yeah.
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 This is one of those items. I think this could very well be, maybe with one more charge, but this could be a tier 3 item, and I don't think people would contest it too much.
The fact that it's percentage, I mean, you could, healing up buildings is a big deal.
You can
deal.
Use
Not
this on your ancient.
Many people can do that. Yeah. Right. It gives it plus 10 armor.
Yeah.
I guess it doesn't get multi-shot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pupil's Gift.
Pupil.
Grants you plus 14 attributes for both of your secondary stats. This is broken.
14 attributes, yeah.
30 attributes.
14 stats.
It's so good.
That's a lot.
Like,
it's a lot.
Maybe it's so good for strength heroes because the mana's draft, and for everything else, it's just like it makes you so tank.
Gives you some armor, gives you some attack speed. Helm of the Undying, +6 armor, and then gives you Wraith King eggs. Basically, you have after you die, you have 5 seconds where you come back as a wraith and you can do stuff.
That's so good. This is also like could be a tier 3 item. Maybe if it gave a bit more stats. Yeah.
It's so situationally broken. It's very Dota-like.
Imp Claw. Passive attack damage. Ooh. Causes your next attack to deal 1.6 damage. Cooldown 10. It's like
it's mini a guaranteed crit every 10 seconds. Yeah,
pretty good.
It's really good. Like on a ranged hero, 18 attack damage and then a 106% crit every 10 seconds. Mm. Like, ooh. Philosopher's Stone. +75 GPM. Almost doubles your passive GPM. +200 mana. And -35 attack damage.
This patch, some of those have it, but it's the first patch that introduce items that have negatives.
Yeah. This is something you give to a support.
Yeah. It seems so broken.
Yeah, it's so good.
I think you give
support.
This a
It doubles their
4.
Passive goal. Yeah.
Broken. Yeah. Imagine being a lion and having this.
Ugh. Okay. 200 mana. Damn. Okay. Dragon Scale, +5 armor, +5 HP regen, and your attacks now burn for 12 damage per second for 3 seconds. Effects building.
Oh, this is so good. It's like a Dragon Knight level 1 old proc.
It's like a bigger ooze. Seems pretty good. Like it's only 36 damage, but like 5 armor and 5 HP drain is respectable.
Essence Ring. 6 intelligence and 2.5 mana regen. Activates to increase your max HP by 375 for 15 seconds.
It's the opposite of a soul ring.
It's really good, I think.
It gives literally the opposite of
it. It's good on int heroes.
Yeah. No, it's bad on...
it's good on int heroes.
No, but you don't want to... It's a lot of mana. It costs 200 mana.
Yeah, but as an int hero, you have plenty of mana. It basically gives you this mana. It gives you 2.5 mana regen. If you mana starved before... No, if you're not mana starved before, this item is not going to make you mana starved.
I don't know. It's nice for the instant mana regen, and you could just never use the active. Yeah. And it's still kind of respectable.
Oh, this is one of those items that like it'll be given around to the one hero where it's actually good.
Probably, yeah. But this is 15 to 25 minutes. So, you know, 2.5 mana regen, it's still okay.
Nethershawl.
+8% spell amp, +20% magic resist, and -4 armor.
I'm not sure if I would use this.
It's strange.
Maybe, I mean, yeah, this is like something that an edgy
It's situationally quite good. I saw this on a... Actually, I don't know.
This is like something an edgy
I don't know.
Takes.
I have no idea who put this on.
Tome of Aghanim, consumable that temporarily grants your scepter buff for 3 minutes. I don't think this is that good, actually.
What? This is broken.
You think so?
You can control when you consume this.
Yeah, I know.
You're about... So it's 15 to 25 minutes, right? Maybe you just want a team fight. And now you can go, like, try to take another tower, try to fight. And you can give somebody a scepter for 3 minutes. Like, this could be... This is situationally, again, so good.
Yeah, I guess.
An Ags at, like, 15 for free? Mm-hmm. For 3 minutes?
Yeah, you're right. All right. Craggy... we are tier 3 items now.
Tier 3. We are tier 3
gamers now. Craggy Coat. 13
armor. This is where we get serious.
35 attack speed on yourself. 13 armor is a lot.
-35 attack speed.
It's also a lot of attack speed, though.
It's a situational... Like, if you have a tanky Pudge or something, like, I don't know. Craggy Coat.
All right. Your turn, Nick.
Greater Fairy Fire. +30 damage. Consume to instantly restore 500 health with 2 charges. It's like a mini cheese. Mm-hmm. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Quickening Charm. 13% cooldown reduction, 9% HP. This is broken. If I'm a Zeus with my talent and an Octarine in this, I don't have any cooldowns almost.
it's only 13%. And
sure,
it does
but
stack.
It's if it stacks like no, it Octarine stack. And cooldown reduction talent
Actually,
stacks,
I don't know if it does. Because Octarine stacks multiplicatively But like talents add, I don't know.
Yeah, talents add. So cool, talents CDR plus Octarine stacks stack additively.
I don't know if this is multiplicative.
If this stacks additively, it's brokenness. Like, insanely broken.
13%? It is pretty good, actually.
If it stacks multiplicatively, then not that much.
If you give it on the right here. Yeah. The 9 HP regen is just kind of nice.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't
this
know.
Could also you be a really tier 2 item, though, I feel like.
Yeah. It's really situational, mm-hmm. like you said.
And like,
if you're a Zeus,
the items being comparatively to each other, even if they're situationally, like, even in its perfect situation, this is not as good as some of the other tier 3 items in, like, this, like, not perfect situations. So this adds to the RNG, even if both teams have different items, the same amount of items, they might have wildly different usefulness of items.